Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the wonderful Golding Accountancy, wearegolding.com, and Proudess. Now, some of you may or may not know, me and my best friend started a hair and skincare brand called Proudess, and the Instagram handle is at Proudess with three S's, because two S's wasn't available, so that's what the company's called. But if you want to be able to brush your hair without so many knots in the morning, if you want your hair to be flatter in the morning, if you want your skin to be better, you need to get yourself over to our Instagram and see what we're doing, because we're going to change the world, people. Hi. So this week, the lovely Frank Fellows came on to chat to me all about being a cook. He's not a chef. He does, I don't know if he does explain the difference, because I was a bit like, what's the difference in the podcast? But he cooks the food. Chefs kind of run the restaurant, or they make sure everything's all right, apparently. I don't know. But anyway, he came to my house and cooked us dinner. I mean, this was literally the best day ever. I did a podcast and sampled the cooking, which was amazing. But yeah, Frank is lovely. He's kind of a friend of the network. But yeah, I hope you enjoy this, and I'll see you in a bit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Work. Work.
So today's the best day ever.
Is it?
Well, it is, yeah, because I've invited the lovely Frank to come on my podcast to talk about being a cook, not a chef.
Pretty
because
good.
We're going to discuss that later, because I don't know what the difference is. And he's come round with food and he's cooking dinner.
I am, yeah.
And my house smells amazing.
It's all right now.
And had I known that this was how it worked, then I'd probably just do a podcast with cooks.
I feel like it's kind of taken already.
You should do a podcast.
No, I ain't got time.
Oh, that's true.
I'm too busy.
Yeah, because you work. How many hours in a day is from 8 to 1 o'clock in the morning?
That's not every day.
I know that's not every day, and I know it's not normal, but still, how many hours is that? That's 12, 13, 14.
Maths 15, I can't do. 17,
18. Is that 18 hours?
I don't 8, know.
9, 10, 11, 12, 1. 17-hour days. I mean, yeah. I know that that's unusual.
Yeah, very rare. Very rare.
But how do you sustain that?
You can't. That's why you do it as like, just so we're clear, that's not my normal week to week. That's like a very rare occasion where you have to blast out like one or two like that. And especially when like hospitality at the minute is pretty tough. It's hard to find staff. It's hard to find good staff. And you just kind of have to dig in and know that it's going to be okay in a few weeks.
So why are there no staff?
So everyone post-lockdown has realised they don't have to cook or be front of house. They can do work from home jobs, and they're much easier, they're much less stressful, and they pay better, which is fine. But if you love what you do, then you dig in and you get it done. So like that's why you can do it. Like I've had a few weeks where I've had to blast through a couple of like long shifts, and that's fine because I know that at the end of it, I've got a couple of days off. One of those days will be a recovery day of sleeping and then doing my laundry and get my shit together, and then the next day will be like a day of going out and eating. Great.
It's normal.
It's kind of a bit of a weird life, but like that's the life I chose. So
did you always want to do it?
My first job out of school was KP, so I went straight from school. I had big plans to go surfing in Cornwall for like a month. So I obviously from Gloucester, but without the accent.
You have got a bit of an accent.
It's a bit of a twang. Everyone expects me to be like, all right, my love, how's it going? I sound like Tom Courage and that. You want to be a pirate? Which is great. But I've spent years masking it because it's not the most attractive accent.
Is that what you used to talk like?
I fully, like, after a few ciders, it comes out in full swing.
I think it's a nice accent.
I sound like a hobbit. But obviously this isn't a video podcast. So basically you're sat with, like, a wish.com Benedict Cumberbatch. So that's an excellent example of what I look like.
And a giant as well. You are the tallest person, as Lola quite rightly pointed out, you are the tallest person ever to stand in our kitchen.
I will happily take that title.
6'5" or 6'6"?
6'5", 6'6" with shoes on.
Okay.
But I'll take that title, that's fine.
Yeah.
Hopefully it annoys other men that come in this house, especially the bearded ones.
Yeah. He's the only other tall one that comes round.
He's not that tall though, is he?
He's so 6'4". He's taller than everyone in my family. He's 5'0". So
you're literally a family of hobbits. But you don't sound like hobbits.
But we don't sound like hobbits, no.
You sound like people from Essex.
People from Essex, yeah.
So I went...
So you were going to go surfing. What's KP?
Kitchen porter.
Oh.
Or if you work in the kitchen, you are a underwater gastronome technician specialising in 1.9s, 1.5s and 1.3s, or a ceramic technician.
Okay.
I was KP, and my dad took my house keys away when I finished school, and he said, go and get a job. You leave when I leave. We'll print a CV together. Like a CV out of school is like, what? I've got GCSEs and no experience. Like, it was like one sheet, half an A4 sheet. He's like, go and get a job. And I gave it into those places. And then my brother was working in the food court in Gloucester. So in Gloucester, there's a shopping centre, and upstairs there was a food court. And it was just like bare bones, proper, like just like pensioners love it.
Yeah.
Like they know what they're getting.
Yeah.
Safe. And like the maximum you pay for a meal is like £6.
Yeah.
But you get big portions. So I went and washed pots there and learned very quickly that a kitchen is a place where you can be an absolute arsehole to your mates, but it's really nice and stuff happens that is horrifying, but people carry on working. Like we used to have gas fryers. So anyone that's worked in a kitchen with a gas fryer will know that sometimes you've got to turn it on with a pair of pliers and light the pilot. And we used to turn it on with power pliers and light the pilot. You had to light it in 2 seconds or you're losing your eyelashes. And it happened to me once, and like it blasted me in the face, and I was like, whoa. Oh. And then I could hear laughing, and they were like, oh, 5 seconds? I was like, yeah. And then we just carry on with the day, and you got no eyelashes for like a couple of weeks.
Oh my God.
So yeah, stuff like that happened. You hit each other in the face with fish. Like, it was awful, but also great fun. And then I went from like washing pots to like doing service with the boys. And then I went into retail, and it was just like really boring, really underpaid. Like, just, I was really into like clothes and fashion. I was like, oh, this is really cool.
You told me to get a steamer.
Yeah.
And I got one.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
It's great.
Well, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Better than an iron.
Yeah, better than the iron mark on the floor.
We won't talk about that. Yeah. But I just glared at your carpet and there's an iron mark.
Yeah, but that was like, an accident.
I'm telling you, like, more people should have steamers. So there's loads of companies now that are like, I hate ironing and like, I'll do your laundry. A steamer is what, like 40, 50 quid on Amazon?
Yeah.
And it's so much easier. Because you just hang your stuff up and you go bang, bang, done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did spend a lot of time doing that. Went from that to...
Had you cooked before you worked in the kitchen?
No.
You never cooked anything?
I was like 17, so like instant noodles and maybe a mac and cheese.
Okay.
And maybe... No, I hadn't even made a loaf of bread. But I loved... At school, I was only really good at science, drama, English, and we called it DT food, like design technology food,
yeah,
for some reason. I'm not 100 years old, I'm like 36 now, but I talk to people about it and they're like, oh, do you mean food tech? I'm like, yeah, we call it DT food. I'm like, all right, granddad. And I loved it. But then me and Tom, who was my best mate at school, we got to like the final year, like year 11 of food, and like one of the tests was like, make a dish. And we legit both came in with a Home Pride jar pasta bake. So all you had to do was put the sauce in, fill the jar with water, pour that in, bake it with cheese on, crushed it. And our teacher was like, I can't be angry because you've used initiative.
Yeah.
But you haven't really cooked. It's like, well, we've mixed the sauce, prepped the dish, finished the dish. Is it cheating? She's like, I have to give you a C. But I'm not happy about this scene. And we're like, yeah. If I hadn't been forced to get a job and go into kitchens, I was going to chase acting.
Okay.
I was really, really like, I loved like drama so much. And like, as you know, like, I'm quite a chatty guy.
You are.
I seem to know everyone through everything.
Yeah.
Because I just like to talk to people.
Is that something you might still do?
No, because everything I would have done has been taken by actual Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, like, yeah.
All roles are gone. Other than a stunt double, I'm useless.
You could be like his brother. Is he tall?
Yeah. What's more weird is when I ran the pub in the Cotswolds, the guy, one of the owners lived in the same hamlet as his parents. And he didn't tell me. So when I went to go visit him at his house, he was like, come on, let's go to the pub. And we went to the pub, and then his parents were in the pub, and he was like, oh, this is Frank. He's going to run the mousetrap for me. And they're like, oh, good. And then he was like, doesn't he look like your lad? And they're like, oh, yeah, very good. Went up and went, that's Benedict Cumberbatch's parents. Confirmed. I'm like, great, wonderful. We're both tall men with long faces and tiny eyes, but we are attractive to all mums. So it's not a bad thing. Yeah, every day. I mean, walking here, like, I got a lot of looks from people, and like, I have tattoos. I'm not him.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear, like, it's not all gone wrong.
Have you ever done him for Halloween?
I did Doctor Strange for 1 year, and I've been Sherlock for 2. I never want to do it again. I don't.
Why?
It's such a cop out. Like, back when I had more hair, obviously I've buzzed my head, and I wear a hat. When I had more hair, yeah, it was pretty easy. Or you get a wig and be like, I'm Sherlock. I've got a big coat on. Or if you're Doctor Strange, like, we'll do the hand, wear a cape. Yeah. Yeah, it's been done, unfortunately. So I shan't do it again.
Have you ever met him?
No, unfortunately not. We've not crossed paths. I'd like to. He seems like a nice chap.
Yeah. He does seem like a nice chap.
He's an Eton boy, so...
Is he?
Yeah. He's an Eton lad.
They all bloody are, aren't they?
All the good ones are. Well, and some bad ones.
A lot of bad vibes.
Let's not get into that. Let's not talk about politics. Given the current situation as well, let's not talk about that.
So, retail. So, did you leave the kitchen just because...
I had enough of it. It wasn't really for me at the time. Had the wrong attitude as I did at school. Went off to retail. Did pretty much everything in retail, from like games to clothes. Did a lot of clothes stuff, and then was like a roaming like fixer, because I was good at like showing people how to be nice to people. Because lots of people in retail have that job because it pays the bills, and you can clock in, clock out, and you can get away with just being like doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because you should be there to like help people. Like, people come in because they don't know what they want.
Yeah.
Or it can go either way. So you can have people that, like, a lot of guys can't dress themselves, and they're like, oh, I know that this is fine, but I don't really know what it goes with. And they're like uneasy, and they're like, listen, come with me. You don't have to buy anything, but yeah, come and try this on. Like, this works with this. And, like, I wanted to teach people that. So I went around and I did that a lot. And I became, like, a menswear fixer for a few brands. It was great. And then from that, I went and did store builds and training. And then that was a few years. And then from that, my friend Rob, who's the one that lived in a little bit in Oxford, had invested in a pub. And he said, have you worked in a pub before? And I said, no. And he was like, cool. Everything you have already is transferable to this. All you need to do is learn how to pull a pint, and you're there. And also bring the accent back, because it's in the Cotswolds. Okay, cool. So I took the jump and was like really nervous. And my mate was like, look, just do it. This is a great opportunity. So we took on this pub. You had 10 rooms above. You live above the pub. Right, we gutted it. I'm terrible at DIY. We went from doing no DIY to a full build on the toilets, front of the bar, the lines, the cellar.
Oh my God.
It was a lot. A lot. But it turned it around in about a month and a half. Like, it was amazing. We took all of our favourite bits of places from London, brought them to like this little village in the Cotswolds, Boughton-on-the-Water. It's got a little river, fake river running through it. It's the Venice of the Cotswolds, according to the sign as you go in.
Oh.
Utter nonsense. There are five other pubs. As soon as we started gutting the pub, they were all scoping us out, and they were like, hated us. They were like full stranger danger. Like, who are these people? And then we just made friends with everyone. We're like, look, we just want a nice pub for the area. Like, we have nothing against all of you, but you're all tied and we're a freehold. So we'll probably be the more expensive of the pubs.
Yeah.
But we're never going to have a telly. So we're never going to show sports.
Yeah.
So you've got that crowd. And if people want to come and don't want to see that, we're the place for them. And we're going to do food that's like not boring. No offense. Because like, it's just like risottos. Can I swear?
Yes.
I wasn't sure.
Yep. No, you can swear.
Not a kids podcast.
It's not a kids, no.
The food in the Cotswolds is fucking boring.
Is it?
Fuck. Like, risottos, miso aubergines, just, oh my God, honestly, destroying. So we did, like, we made a point of the dining room having a bookcase.
Yeah.
And the bookcase was just cookbooks of restaurants that we loved. So if we did a dish and someone ordered it and they loved it, we'd be like, oh, just so you know, it's from this restaurant. If you're visiting London, please see them. It's a... like an homage. Like, yeah. It's not as, I guarantee it's not as good as there.
Yeah.
But we've done our take on it. So it's great.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah. So lots of stuff from like St. John, like Hawksmoor. Like, we did loads of stuff like that. And
yeah.
It was a nice way to like just talk to people as well, because Cotswolds is very much like a middle ground for tourists. So they would come and visit on their way to London because they want to see like the old stone buildings and the greenery and the cows. Yeah, it's weird.
And the hobbits.
And the hobbits. The really tall hobbits. Yeah. Like, all right, my love, when you want to play a bear? Yeah, lots of that. Now, oh, I've seen Hot Fuzz. Like, yeah, very good. There is a model village in Boughton. Yeah. This one. I've walked around it and been like, yeah, big cop in the model village. So yeah, it was good. So from that,
So did you cook in the pub?
I did a few shifts in the kitchen, not loads. We had a chef already, and he was an absolute legend. Like, he could handle all of it. Most chefs will tell you that breakfast service is either their favourite or their worst.
Yeah.
Because it's all at once and then it's done. And then we just did lunch, which was just toasties. It was easy. And then dinner. And then Sunday roast, obviously. I pulled a few shifts and we put a few dishes on that were good fun. But then while I was doing that, I was still visiting London every Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday, back to the pub Wednesday. And just scoping out everyone. And then I started to chat to a lot of chefs. And they were like, you should just pull a shift in a kitchen here, mate, like, and see what you think. I was like, okay, cool, I will. I will. And I was like, never going to pursue it. Because I get quite bad social anxiety. So, yeah. Like, I'm all for, like, chatting and, like, this is fine. But, like, in a new space or somewhere I've never been, like, immediately shut down. Like, I just don't want to talk to anyone. Yeah. I want to... I'm so happy to dine somewhere on my own.
Yep.
Like, eat on my own. Yeah, this is amazing. Cool. Okay, thank you very much. Bye. And, like, that's it. If someone starts talking to me, I'm like, I've got to go. Like, it freaks me out really badly. And Ash, who was the head chef at Tempa in Soho at the time, back when they were all, like, there was three of them and they were all doing different things. He was like, you should come and pull a shift and see what you think. I think you'd be all right. And I said, okay, cool. And yeah, I did. I pulled a Thursday.
What did you have to do?
He put me on sides and garnish. So like, he was like, it's not that much pressure. And Julie, who runs the section, is with you.
Yeah.
So you just kind of like, you're getting your hand held, but you'll get to see what it's like in a service. But while I was there, I was only meant to be there for like 2 hours. And I stayed for the whole sit. While I was there, like, I saw other trials come and go. And like, it was like every hour on the hour. Like, they'd just come and be like, okay, bye. And it was like, it was busy. Like, that restaurant was pumping with people. And they would just come and leave. And I'm like, why are they going? Like, we're in the shit. Like, it's busy. And Julie was like, just crack on, keep going. So we just carried on. And then we started cleaning down the end of service. And Ash was like, why are you still here? Like, you were supposed to go ages ago. Like, yeah, but you were in the shit. He's like, oh, okay. We'll finish up and then we'll have a chat. I'm like, clean down. Made sure everything was labelled. Checked, open, clear. Everything's off. And he's like, cool. When can you start? And he's like, oh, because I was okay. He's like, because you stuck it out. Like, all of those other guys literally just came and went. Came and went. He's like, what's the point in getting someone that's just going to clock in, clock out?
Yeah.
Like, I'd eaten there so much. I just wanted everyone else to have the experience that I had. Because it's an open kitchen.
Yeah.
You have, like, 40-odd on the counter in front of this big fire. And that's they want
to... Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got another, like... that's a lot. I'd say you could... If it was full at the time, you could do about 250, 300. That's it.
Wow.
It's a rammer. So you have two on each section. So you have two on grill... One on sides, two on tacos, one on pastry, one inside pass, one outside pass. And you're just constantly...
What does inside pass and outside pass mean?
So inside pass is you're expediting it and finishing. So you're working the tickets, calling the tickets, finishing the plates, handing them to outside pass.
Okay.
Outside pass is then putting them on trays, handing them to runners.
Okay.
Sending them out. So yeah, I started that. So I was very lucky that was my first kitchen.
What did you do there?
I started on sides and garnish. Yeah. I learned a bit of grill. I learned a lot of butchery. I learned a bit of pastry. I learned a lot about tacos. And I learned a lot about making sauces. I learned a lot very quickly.
Was that when you used to send me pictures of the butchery stuff? Was that from that restaurant?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not weird. That was weird. Weird, but yeah, though it wasn't weird.
No.
But yeah, I've got memories of that.
Mm. So, yeah.
Well, I guess that's the best way to learn, right? Just being thrown in the deep end.
I wouldn't. Like, it's the best way. Like, trial by fire is 100% the best way to learn. Because you either know you want to do it.
Yeah.
Or you immediately go, this isn't for me. And I've seen a lot of people go, this isn't for me. I saw a guy on a Sunday service who'd been with us for about a month. He turned up and he was, like, so rough. Like, you do turn up on a Sunday hungover sometimes. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
You know you got to grind it out. You know you're probably off Monday. You can sleep it off.
Yeah.
Get through Sunday. He turned up an hour in. He literally rolled his knives up and went, this isn't for me, chef, and left. And the sous chef looked at me and went, all right, looks like we're going to crack on. I was like, cool, okay. How many more have we got to go? And he's like, about another 60. Like, let's get it done. And we just got it done. Like, don't just bail mid-service. Like, you have a commitment.
Yeah.
And these people who are coming for dinner don't give a shit about your problems. They just want a nice dinner. Give them a nice dinner.
But it's more about your co-workers, though. Because obviously you're going to have to pick up the slack for that. And yeah. That's just a shitty thing to do.
There's a lot of shitty people.
Yeah.
A lot of shitty people. It's not something we can really talk about, unfortunately. It's a lot. A lot of shitty people with lots of really good PR companies, and they're really shitty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, did that. And then from that went... Head chef got scouted by a very famous chef who we can't name.
Okay.
Because he's got a really good PR company and a big legal team.
Okay.
So we can't name drop him, but he is... I think if you Googled the world's most famous chef, he comes up first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's not Marco Pierre White. He's the other one. That's okay. The easy way to describe him.
Yeah.
Known for swearing and many cooking shows.
Yep.
Yeah. Went to go work at his bar and grill for him. And because I'd learnt my section and temper, and I hadn't learned the basics,
yeah.
So I'd learned to run before I could walk.
Yes, okay, yeah.
So I hadn't learned the basics, learned like the classics. So then Ash went there and he was like, come with me and I'll teach you the basics, and then you'll have a good base. So I went there, and it was a completely different kitchen. It was extremely stressful. It was not a nice environment to work in.
Why?
Because it was within a hotel. You are then pressurized with doing your normal service, doing all your mise en place, so setting up for service and getting everything ready, and then you have room service tickets on top. If a room service ticket was ever late, the restaurant was then charged and the customer got up for free. And if you were six tickets deep and a room service ticket comes on, that room service ticket goes to the front. So if you think you get a nice rhythm and you're working a service and you're like, okay, cool, so I've got this, and I got six of these, and I got four of these. Doesn't matter. Club sandwich and fried chicken burger comes on, that stops everything else, and you get that done immediately. And you're just like, what? But I can't, like, I can't get that any quicker because I'm already using the fryer, I'm already using the pan. It was horrible.
How was that a good idea?
Because
to have it like that.
That's, I don't know, but that's just how they run it. It was really, really stressful. Pretty much every chef in there was just there because I feel like they'd figured out how to... They'd done what I'd done at Tempo, and I'd learnt to run their sections.
Yeah.
Easy. And they had easy life. And it was just like, this is so stressful. Like, I don't want to come to work. And I would get to work and be like, I don't want to be here. And it was just like, I was like, I'm here to learn, so I should learn.
Yeah.
And I was trying. I was really trying. I was just like... It's just too much. Like, it was so anxious every day, and like, you'd start service and then like, yeah, it wasn't very nice. But then lockdown happened and COVID dropped our numbers, and then
did everyone get laid off?
Everyone except for head chefs and GMs.
Okay.
So we were without jobs.
Why weren't you furloughed?
It was a day of furlough. It was announced. We went to the pub, obviously. The sous chef I remember feeling him slap me on the back and went, come on, let's go to the pub. Nothing else we can do. We'll figure out tomorrow. Right now, let's just go get shit-faced. All right, cool. We went to Bodega Negra in Soho.
Yep.
They've got like a wheel. I remember spinning the wheel twice. I don't remember anything else.
Yeah.
I don't remember going home. I was like just blackout. Like, we just got so, so wasted because there was nothing else to do. We just didn't know what to do. And then the next day I put a thing up saying like, does anyone need anything? Like, what do we need? Anyone needs anything? Like, soup kitchen, anything. Like, I want to just help because everything was just shutting.
Yeah.
And then we'd made friends with the cockfighter guys who do like fried chicken in London. They're very good.
Yeah.
I got one in Soho, and then I think they were the first to pivot. So like, as soon as lockdown happened, they were like, we're doing dark kitchens. We think takeaway and delivery is going to be the winner.
Yeah.
Because you can do it contactless. So we're opening one, and it's down the road from where you live. And he was like, can you just talk to the guys you work with and see if you can get them in? So we ran a dark kitchen for 2-3 months. It was like just insane numbers.
Yeah.
Because it was lockdown. Like, what else are you going to do? Loads of people were furloughed. And we're just like, I've got spare money. I'm not going out to eat. I'm just going to get takeaways. I think at one point we were hitting nearly 40k a week on fried chicken. Fried chicken as well.
Wow.
So like, just blasting it out. We knew pretty much every Uber Eats and Deliveroo driver's name. We saw them that much. Yeah. They were so good. But no one from the public was allowed in because of COVID. So like, the drivers would come to the door. They would knock, give us a number. We'd hand it over. They'd go. But like, blasting it out. And then we were like, oh, we should probably do our own thing rather than earning this money for someone else.
Yeah.
Even though they're our friends. And then, we looked around, and the guy that had the kitchen that we were in had another kitchen with like a weird like hatch and a burger place had taken, and they weren't doing very well. And he's like, there's a smoker in there, if you guys can work a smoker. And like, the two guys I was with were from Tampa, and they're like, yeah, we kind of know how to use it. Yeah, we've done a bit. So we did some tests, and we were like, we should just go for it. So we all went in. I think we'd had about, between 3 of us, we opened a business with about 10k.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty low for a startup. And invited all of our chef friends. We made a point of not inviting anyone that was a food blogger.
Yeah.
We were like, let's just invite chefs so they can be really brutal and tell us what they like and they don't like. And they were like, everything's great. Maybe just change this one thing, but just open. Like, this is food that people can't be asked to cook themselves. And like, you can tell that you guys care about it. We had all the farmers that we dealt with before, from obviously all the butchery stuff, and we launched the barbecue place. It was mad. It was insane. We thought there'd be like 2 people outside when we opened, and there was like a queue. And then it got really silly, and the police told us off. And we were like,
why did they tell you off?
Because the queue went from like that corner to the Brit. So we were, I keep moving my hand and showing you, but obviously people can't see that. So like, we opened on in a place called Fish Island in Hackney Wick, next to a bar that's now called Two More Years. So we were on the corner with a little hatch. So you come to the hatch and you order, you wait, call your name, you get your food. But that queue used to go to the bridge.
Wow.
And it'd be there all day. So people would queue for like 2-3 hours.
Are you being serious?
It was mad. Lockdown one, like, it was insane. Insane. And at one point, it'd be like, we haven't got enough pigs smoked for these people. So one of us has to go out. And it's always like rock, paper, scissors. Who's going out to tell them? And you'd go down the queue and you'd count. And you'd get to a point and be like, just so you know, you're probably not going to get dinner. And they'd be like, oh, like, come back. Like, give me a name, come back, we'll sort something out, don't worry. So you'd always, like...
Yeah.
We always wanted it to be, like, you know, it's just us, and it's, like a little neighbourhood spot. It's never, like, different people every time. It's always us.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the cars there. But, yeah, it was mad. It was absolutely mad. And we did that bloody donut, which... It's a good... I know it's a good...
It was just the nicest thing.
So you came so late as well. You were like,
I know.
Post lockdown tea, you turned up and you were like, oh, mate.
Yeah.
I think I had a blonde mullet as well.
I did have a blonde mullet at the time.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, so did you.
That was fully like, yeah. And everyone came for that bloody donut.
What was it, a donut with?
So it's a brioche donut that we put barbecue sauce one side, chili jam the other, smoked pork shoulder, and like a bit of crispy skin. I know. It's
good. Oh my God, it was just so good.
It's so good.
It was so good. Who came up with that idea?
Martin, as a joke. So it was me, Martin and Curtis. Martin came up with it when we were doing the menu prep. He was like, can you get donuts from this bakery? And then Curtis was like, I can make donuts. Like, well, let's do some tests with just these ones and it's fine. And we did it. And I was like, we're not doing dessert. I said, but if we do something food-wise, we're not doing dessert and we're not doing coffee.
Yeah.
It's like my two least favourite things. Let's just do nice savoury. They're going to take it home. They've got everything else at home. And yeah, he was like, get donuts. And we did. And it was just like... But the thing is, we didn't want... Well, I was really conscious that, like, especially in London, there's restaurants like Black Axe, which is an incredible restaurant.
Yeah.
And they were, like, known for doing, back in the day, they did a foie gras donut. And then they did a smoked pig cheek donut, I think, as well. Insane. And I was like, so I messaged Lee, the guy that went, I was like, just so you know, we're going to do a donut. I don't want you to think we're treading on toes.
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, no, doesn't, like, that's fine. There's no copyright on food. Like, do what you want. Yeah. That sounds amazing. Like, all the best for you guys. And, like, everyone's just been, like, they were so nice. So, yeah, we did that. And it was mad. And, as you know, you had most of it. I think
it was so good.
It was a lot. Because you came with a couple of mates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good. So, how long were you there for?
So, we were there from... when did we launch? July of lockdown one.
Yeah, 2020.
2020, up until about a month ago, we closed the hatch.
Oh, is the hatch closed now? Hatch's
closed now.
Why?
So they're knocking down those buildings.
Oh, are they?
So all of those buildings are going. So while we were there, we saw Truman's Brewery go, that massive high rise go up, and then it wasn't built correctly, so that's going to come down and go up again.
Seriously?
Yeah, that went opposite Rob's flat.
Yeah.
It's going down.
They didn't do it correctly.
No.
How can you make a building not do it correctly? How much money is that going to cost?
I don't remember. Someone did tell us. Because the foreman of that site was like sweating one day. And we're like, you okay then? They've missed. And I was like, missed what, mate? And then all of a sudden they were like knocking these like support posts in just to keep it up. Like, oh, it's really knackered.
My God.
So they can either put them in after or just bring it down and bring it back up. So I think they're going to bring it down and bring it back up. It's quicker. But yes, funnily enough, you seem to know Rob, who's one of our regulars. He's one of your H&B pals from back in the day. He used to come to us every week and buy bacon. What a legend. He's so nice. And then, Hatch is closed. I stepped away.
Because, you stepped away, didn't you?
I stepped away in October to help my now ex-partner with her business.
Yeah.
She had a vegan business, which is also a dog business. And I was like, cool, no problem. I'll give you a hand. Like, I understand what it's like to run a business now. And, like, you have a lot on. So I launched a vegan concept, which did pretty well. It didn't do amazingly. And it was hard to get foot traffic. And, like, it was just like a push. And then I kept trying to push up, like, pricing.
Yeah.
And just, like, wasn't going. So I was like, okay, cool. I need to step away from this. So I stepped away from that about August this year. Yeah. August this year. Had, like, a week off. And was like, where do I go now? And I was like, I should probably get back into, like, a proper kitchen. So obviously, like, running your own business and doing lockdown stuff is not running like a normal kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that fried chicken when we did was in the back of a pub or a bar being dismantled and rebuilt. And one thing that was really bad is, like, the last thing the builders took out was the taps and the kegs. And they were like, there's about 20 kegs that are still good. There's gas. If you feed us, we'll do this last. So we were literally just drinking beers every day. Like, we treated it like a festival. And we were just beering it up and frying chicken. Like, it was...
Living the dream.
Living the dream, but also slowly becoming functioning alcoholics, which is not ideal.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then obviously when I went to do my own thing, when we did the barbecue, you would get in, like, Sundays 7, 8 a.m. And... you would assume that, like, by 10 a.m. it felt like midday.
Yeah.
So you'd crack a beer and crack on. So it's pretty bad. And then, the vegan thing was fine. Like, it was okay. I was doing, like, vegan tacos and stuff like that. But, yeah, obviously I split with my partner, so I had to step away as well. And then I spoke to the head chef at Pigeon, a chap called Drew, who is... wonderful and so young. Yeah, he's like 29. We've already chatted with us.
I can't believe he's 29.
Yeah, he's 29 and he's got so much knowledge and he's just legitimately like an absolute trooper.
Does he just love food?
Yeah. He loves everything and he's just super nice. So I work with him. So I went to go meet him for a coffee because he kept saying, like, if anyone asks you about jobs, please send them my way if they're good. But also, you could just come work here. And I was like, well, I don't think I could because what you do is very, very good. And then we went and had a coffee and a chat. And he said, if you want to come and do a puller shift and see what you think, come and pull a shift. It'd be nice to know if you get on with the guys, if we get on and you have the right attitude. And I did. I pulled a shift and I couldn't roche.
What does roche mean?
So roche is like a quenelle with one spoon. So
is it Woodward? I'm from Basildon, Frank.
All right. So like when you get, whenever you go somewhere nice and they give you like the little, like this, how to describe it? I really don't know how to describe it other than like the perfect little, like, not sphere, but like there's like a spoon or something on your plate.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, I know. Do you know what I mean?
I want to say cone, but it's not a cone.
It's not a cone. It's like a roundy,
like a rugby ball.
Like a rugby ball.
Perfect. There we go. That perfectly smooth rugby ball of like ice cream or butter. That's a roche.
Okay.
So I couldn't do that.
Okay.
So I learned very quickly. I did my trial shift and I just couldn't get the roches. Could do it.
So do you just do it in one?
So you have to do one motion, boom, on the plate, and you commit.
Okay.
Like nail, crush them, man, no worries.
Yeah.
Every now and again, there's still have a bad one. Happens.
Do you do it with everything that you can do it?
No, so then you can't do it with everything. You have to have the right temp. And...
Okay.
But after my trial, I went home and I bought some cream and I whipped some cream and I just did it every day. Just roche, roche, roche. Again, until they were good. And then I went back for another shift and he was like, hey, I've been practicing. Yeah, a bit of an ad, but I just wanted to get it right. And yeah, it's wrong. Is it? It's good. It's good. And then, I've been there 2 months now. Where are we now? October.
Yes.
Yeah, about 2 months. It's amazing. Whole menu changes every week.
Yes.
Which blew your mind.
My head hurts. So it's just a tasting menu.
We just do tasting menu.
Yeah.
Fully seasonal. So based on whatever is good from the farmers, on the meat-wise, and yeah, it's great to have like a whole team. So that there's usually 3 of us on service. There's 5 in total, maybe 6 for the kitchen. And yeah, I love it. Like it's the most open kitchen environment I've been in because with chefs and with everyone in hospitality, like big things that affect us are like, yes, we work really long hours, not consistently, but it does happen. And then you will have stuff like, people have stuff outside of work that, like, you can be depressed. You can have, like, you can be, like, a functioning alcoholic. You could be, like, addicted to painkillers. Like, that's all very normal.
Yeah.
But rather than, if anything like that happens, like, we're open about it and we talk about it. And it's so nice to, like, go in and know that if someone's having, like, a bit of a low day, it's not quiet.
Yeah.
And like you have that conversation, that's amazing, and it's such a like it's an environment you want to go into.
Yeah,
you're you could know that you are fully booked, and like everyone could be allergic to everything, so you have to change everything. No problem at all. You're still going to go in because you know it's going to be good.
Yeah,
and like you will have a bad day, and you may go down, but everyone there will pull you back up. It's incredible. Like,
but I mean, in general, like because when you said about that restaurant where you worked, it was a really horrible environment because everyone was really stressed. Like, I can't imagine that is of benefit to anyone or any of the business either, because I just working, it makes me feel anxious. Like, we were talking about watching Boiling Point before, which I still haven't seen, but about how stressful it is and about everything going wrong. Like, that makes me, my chest tense.
Yeah, don't watch it.
I do want to watch it, but I get too upset by things. But the idea of working in the kitchen for me, like that's what I think of from watching
stuff like that.
Chefs on TV in the shouty.
Everyone just watches like Kitchen Nightmares or like Hell's Kitchen, or I mean, I hate that they're all Gordon programs, but they generally are. And like Iron Chef, although the latest Iron Chef's pretty great because like it's worth watching.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, Iron Chef is like a cooking contest, but then they have like the mystery ingredient. Okay. And there's like, whoa, what are you going to cook it with? But like this, the one on Netflix at the minute has got, there's a place in New Orleans called Turkey and the Wolf and Molly's Rise and Shine. The guy that runs that is a guy called Mason Hereford. He's the most chill person who's ever worked in kitchens. He has a mullet, a massive mustache, and he makes sure that if his team are all good, they all crack a beer and they all have a great service. And he does it on Iron Chef. He serves them like tacos and a dinosaur. He does, oh man, it's so good. He's just like, I don't give a shit. I'm not changing what I'm doing. I'm just going to put on Iron Chef. Like, my guy. So good. But yeah, people do, like, it's kind of an old school thing of like, you must do it this way.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because what are you going to learn? You're just beating someone against.
Yeah.
You're just giving someone a load of no's rather than going, okay, look, this has gone wrong. Let's try it this way and let's see how we go. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try it this way and see how we go. But whereas all the old school guys are just like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. It's like just not worth it. Like the reason I love what I do is because I work with people who love what they do. And if you fuck up something, they just put their hand on your shoulder and go, okay, let's go again. You'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whereas an old school person would be like, you're shit. Why are you shit? Why are you here?
But it's
fucking horrible.
It is horrible, but also that's not... It's just not good for anyone because it just makes you feel like shit. And yeah. When you feel like shit, you work worse,
Yeah. Don't
you? You're not as... You're much more productive and do better work when you're happy
Yeah. And
you feel supported and...
Like, I've had bad services and I've just got in my head. And, like, you'll mess up one thing, but know that you have another 8 things coming and you start to spiral.
Yes. Yeah.
And then as soon as you start to spiral... So they always call it, like, going down or being in the weeds. And, like, you'll spiral and go down. And, like, unless someone jumps on your section to pull you out, you are going down. And, like, it's happened a few times. And I'm just like... You kick yourself afterwards because you're like, oh, fuck's sake. Because the person that's with you is just like trying to pull you out and be like, look, we're just going to work this, then we're going to work this, then we're going to work this, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But your brain's going, but what about this thing? What about this thing? What about this thing? I can't do this thing. And you go quiet, you just go in, and your brain just goes, and it's horrible.
Is that, do a lot of people drink?
Yes. And no. So everyone I work with now is pretty level-headed.
Do you think that's because they're younger? Because you were saying you're the oldest one. Do you think the younger generation are not so reliant on...
No, they're not. They're not boozers at all. Yeah. No. They're like, we all go for a pint after work if we're on like a prep day. And we do a day off. So yesterday would have been a meet up and play pool. Have a pint or two.
Yeah.
The older guys are like I said about boiling pot, the water bottle.
Yeah.
And the booze.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Very normal for the older generation, like you see it. And like quite a lot of the older guys, like on gear.
Yeah.
Like a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like it's
smoking. Does everyone smoke?
Well, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So I started smoking a few ciggies again. Why you gotta put this on the podcast?
Well, it just, you know.
My mum's gonna kick my ass now.
Good.
Yeah, all right. It's the last packet, it'll be fine. This is the last time. No, they're not. They're not as bad as they used to be. I think I've just worked. So I talked to the boys in this kitchen, and they were just like, everywhere you've worked sounds horrendous. And I was like, what do you mean? So, well, you're either boozing or people are on gear in service. Or you just get screamed at. I'm like, yeah, that's normal now. And like, no, it's very different here. This is a nice place. I'm like, okay, excellent, that's good. And yeah, it is. There's no one drinks pre or like during service, which I've seen in the past.
Yeah.
No one is messing with anything. And we have a ciggy maybe like before we get in and do prep, and that's it. Like, it's just very, very chill, and it's nice. And, like, you can be busy, and you can be slammed. You just don't feel it.
Yeah.
And, like, and that's how it should be. And everyone, like, What's nice is the kitchen is like tiny on the corner, open to the dining room, and you just, all you can really hear is just like us laughing and cooking. And that's what you want from a small dining room. And especially with a tasting menu, like it's super, super nice. Because it, with a tasting menu, you expect it to be a regiment of silence and one chef calling the tickets, and everyone goes, we, and that's it, and you carry on. Whereas we're just like busting each other's balls and giving each other shit. It's great.
Like it should be, no?
Yeah, that's how every kitchen should be.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous that I didn't get that sooner. I should have, like, I've learned more the last 2 months than I have in, like, years. Because, it, like, every week the tech is different.
Yeah, so it's a tasting menu. How many dishes? 10?
I think it works out 10 if you have cheese and the extras, including the snacks and the bread course.
Okay. And that changes every week, and you can never repeat a dish.
Not allowed to repeat a dish. I feel like you should talk to Drew rather than me about this.
Okay, I will do.
I'll tell him that you're keen. You can talk to Drew.
Will he come and cook me dinner as well?
Yeah, he'll cook you a much better dinner. So I'm going to cook you like my dinner, and then he'll come and he'll cook you dinner.
Okay, I can do a taste test. I can give I can do a review.
What if it's better? Imagine it wouldn't be better.
I'll say it is anyway.
He's really good. He's really. But yeah, please do.
But I just think that sounds amazing. But then do you get people coming back then?
So we get people, we have at least, since I've been there, I've seen at least 4 or 5 couples who are on repeat every week.
Yeah. Oh, really? Every week?
And they're like, we're like this weird neighbourhood restaurant, but it's fine dining, but it's not really fine dining. It's like fine dining, but like in a casual space.
So is it not fancy?
So it's like the most comfortable dining room you'll ever sit in.
Yeah.
It would feel like this.
Is it as it's quite small, yeah? You're only what
26, I think, max.
Yeah.
Push. 24, I think. 24, 26 at a push. Not much bigger than this where we are now. And it's just nice and chill. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I'm definitely gonna come.
Yeah.
I like a tasting menu.
Good.
I've only had one before. And I felt very posh.
Where was it?
It was the one, I was in Cornwall near the, where the G7 summit was.
Was it Adams?
Yes. With the butterfly. Was it a butterfly thingy?
Actually, butterfly, yeah. Adam.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was very nice.
Good.
It was quite a lot of fish.
Yeah.
And I'm not a massive, I mean, obviously we were in Cornwall, so.
Yeah.
But I do like fish, but there was quite a lot of fish.
I wonder if... So I know Jamie is the head chef there.
Okay.
He's the really handsome young lad with the streak in his hair.
I can't really remember.
Excellent.
We were only talking to the wine guy, so quite a lot.
George with the beard.
Yes!
Yes! I bloody love that guy.
Yes, he was really nice. There was someone that gave me... Because I don't drink anymore, and they gave me alcohol... Free champagne.
Excellent. How was it?
I did not like it.
Was it bad?
You
aggressively pointed at me like I made it.
Because I was so excited when they said, and I thought, well, if it's going to be nice, it's going to be nice here, isn't it? Because it's a fancy pants place. I just find... I loved champagne. That's the one thing I really miss. But I only liked a few champagnes. Yeah, funny with wine. So I'm not probably the best person to comment on it because I didn't like much champagne anyway. But I just find with the alcohol-free wines and Prosecco's, they just taste like cat's piss. Not that I've drunk much cat's piss.
Well, cat did just wave at the window.
But they're just... But yeah, it just wasn't...
Wasn't for you.
I really like the zero alcohol Heineken or Peroni is nice. Because they just taste exactly the same.
Lucky Saint's quite good. Like the zeros are good.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm quite boring, I guess.
Fine. That's nice you went to Oakley Butterfly there.
Yeah, it was really lovely. We had a really nice time.
I haven't been yet, and
Carby Spay.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Yes, no, it's just because it takes me a little while to get there. We went, my friend, her sister-in-law... owns a house in St Ives, and it's the house that Joe Biden stayed in when he was over for the summit. Mm. There's like a 7 houses or something, and he had all of them, obviously, for because he's the president. Well, he is the president.
Is he
still the president? Yeah, he is. Yeah, it's us who've had 17 different prime ministers, isn't it?
Well, we've got the lettuce now.
And we stayed in her, so we stayed where he stayed. So that was quite exciting. And we went to the Carby Spay place where they had all the stuff. We had a very nice time. It was a very nice. I go away every now and then with these people and pretend that I'm rich.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I used to do that when I ran a pub. I had loads of it, like external, like just disposable income. I used to go to like nice restaurants. That's how I like. So I met Adam, who has Ugly Butterfly and the Frog in Covent Garden. I met him through that, and I think he just lots of people just assumed I was a chef before I was a chef.
Yeah.
Because I asked the right questions. So I would ask like,
yes,
how long this took? What did you use? And they'd be like, are you a chef? And I'm like, I'm just interested, but maybe I am. And then we became friends, and like, yeah, he had to close a lot. So he had 4 or 5. And then lockdown happened and we had to close a lot, which is really shit. But when we were opening the barbecue, he texted me and said, listen, I'm closing up Hoxton. Whatever you need, come and meet me and just take it. So he gave me loads of kit. So he gave me loads of like trays, kitchen kit. And I was like, I said, just send me what it costs and I'll pay you. And he was like, don't be silly. Like, it's fine. It's on me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
But also, he did have a bit of a run-in with a bakery called The Frog, and that's another story. In and out. Okay.
Yeah, he likes to go in and out. He just likes...
Your cat is a proper chump.
He's massive, but he's not... He's big-boned.
I'm not judging him.
He got fat-shamed by the vet. They were like, what are you feeding him? He's overweight. I'm like, I feed him what I'm supposed to feed him, and that's it. He doesn't get treats. I mean, he...
He's going next door and getting fed. 100%.
Well...
Your neighbours are definitely feeding the cat. He looks like a bowling ball.
It's all muscle.
Is it? He's all power. He's like the kingpin of cats.
And he does catch... He ate baby birds the other day, and it was quite upsetting, actually, because I knew that he had something in the garden, so I went out to look and see, and they were chicks. Like, they'd not been out long. And it was really weird because they looked like puppets. They didn't look real.
Yeah,
it was very weird. But then I'm like, but at least he did eat them. He's not like playing with them and then leaving them.
He's just scoffed his dinner and now just lay in the garden.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What we should clarify as well is that we know each other through a mutual love of one man.
We do. Brian Gittins.
Yeah. That's how we know each other.
That is how we know each other.
What a hinge problem.
See, no one got that. Yeah. You were the only person that got that.
Yeah, mad. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, hello. Someone know? What?
Hello.
Actually, it more went, hello.
Because, yeah, you told me about the Charles and...
Brian and Charles.
Yeah.
And the podcast.
On the YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. The original.
So I didn't know about that. I knew about the videos with the keys.
Oh my god, the keys. And also the Angelos one. Sticks and Stones Sticks and Stones. Wait, breaks my bones. Do it again. One of my all-time books. But also, Ava David obviously appreciates that. But that I feel like we should have this recorded that we both love that man.
So much.
Have you actually listened to Chatterbox yet?
I haven't because I don't listen to podcasts.
But you make them.
I know I make them. But sometimes I'm scared of stuff because I know that I'm going to love it so much.
But
I might not be able to stop.
Chatterbox is only like half an hour. It's every day, Monday to Friday. And there's a couple of really good, like, when they have guests on. So they've had, obviously, because it's David Earl and Joe Wilkinson.
Yeah.
They've had, like, Gervais on. Dermot O'Leary's been on. And then, like, it went quiet for a bit and they were just doing, like, little 20-minute ones. And then they got, who's the snooker player? Steve something. They had him on and I was just like, what is happening with this? Like, the audio quality is terrible. It's like it's like they're talking through gaming headsets. And it's really shit. And it's amazing. It's like, who does another one where they just chat shit? Oh, Sipa and Hugo from...
Oh, yeah.
It's like that. So it's like that, but like for us, because we're old.
I'm young enough for what they're called.
Go on.
People Just Do Nothing. Correct. Do you know what? I didn't watch that because I've got friends that are in that because I did it. It was all garage, wasn't it?
It was.
And that was the time that I was doing the dubstep night and a couple of my dubstep DJs were in the programme. And I used to work at a pirate radio station.
Of course you did.
So. Of course I did.
So
I'd heard about it. And I was like, oh, I've got to watch that. And yeah. I didn't watch it until like last year. And I was like, I can't believe.
It's so good, isn't
because
it?
Because it was so realistic.
It's like the it's like the pirate radio garage version of The Office.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah. So Sipa and the Sipa, Marcus and Kieran came to the barbecue. And it was pretty good. It was a great day. Great day. Kieran is now unofficially my twin brother. Marcus is just a G and like super nice. And Sipa bust my balls for the whole time I was there. And he was like, do you like The Office? I've got an American Office tattoo. What do you think of that? I was like, kind of makes me furious, but also I love it. Like, yeah, cool. See you in a bit. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, super. Like, that was a good day. They're really chill. They're really nice guys.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how big or how famous they get. Just really nice. Like, good dudes. And I rate them. And I love the fact that they run Taste Cadets as well as the Corrupt thing. So Taste Cadets is like a little food thing they do together. And they go to spots that people wouldn't normally go to. And they really shout about spots.
That's nice.
Which is nice because, like, those are the spots you want to go to.
Yeah.
Because those are the spots that don't have the money to do, like, a big PR or a big push.
Yeah.
And it's like, these are real, like, hidden gems of London, so.
Because that's, well, you'll well know about that, is how you get people talking about you.
Yeah.
If you don't have a lot of money to spend on advertising, which costs an absolute fortune.
It's so expensive. Yeah. Like, the first thing we looked at was PR, because we were like, what do we do? And I was like, let's just invite chefs. Like, who would you trust on Instagram for a food recommendation? It's like, a chef.
Yeah.
So let's invite all of our chef friends. Like, I promise you this will work. And, like, it did. Like,
yeah.
Not everyone could make it, and it was a bit shit, but, you know, it's what it is.
But you obviously did all right if you had all that queue.
The queue was horrendous. It was so hard.
Why did you decide to walk away from it?
It wasn't even that. It was just like, no, I hadn't had enough. I wanted to go help my partner at the time with hers. With her business, because I could see her struggling. I could see her. I could basically see her going down. And I was like, you need a food offering. You are a bar with no food. Like, why would I stay here? You are now currently the pre-drinks bar. So let me bring food to your place and I'll do good vegan food. Because I cook you good vegan food. So I did. And it was just in such a weird place and it was so hard to get footfall. But it's what it is.
Is it still going?
I don't know.
Okay.
What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I think that's enough because I want my dinner. Thank you very much.
What, for coming over and cooking
for me?
Just so we're clear, I spent the day getting battered on the Wii with your kids, battered on Mario Kart, prepping there, taking the kids to the shops.
Yep. But this is what I need.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
People to come round and do stuff for me.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to Drew, because Drew's good with kids as well.
Brilliant.
He's really good with kids, and he's much nicer than I am. That black eye should lift off.
Oh, thank you.
from Juno. Boom! Just so we're clear, that's a joke. Don't cancel me. Please don't cancel me. I can't afford it. A pleasure, of course.
Thanks very much.
No worries.
Right, so that's the lovely Frank. If you have any questions for either of us, please get in touch. Yes, it was that chef that you're thinking that he did work for. And he did speak, as I talked to him after about it, and he has got nothing but amazing things to say about him. He visits three or four of his restaurants every day to make sure that they're doing what they should be doing. Was it every day or every week? Maybe it was every week. Or maybe it's every day. I don't know. He's the most hands-on CEO ever. But yeah, he said he said that he always remembers your name and remembers something about a conversation that you've had previously. So he's very good at what he does. He said he's a very nice guy, very good at his job, and obviously a very successful person. He's the one on all the TV programmes that swears a lot. And yeah, so I can't remember what I was going to say now, but please subscribe to the podcast. Please share the podcast. Please be kind to each other. If you have any guest suggestions, please get in touch. Big love to you. Stay safe, stay sane, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.